Americanworkersradio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting on 860 AM in Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area. And I ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860. And as you know from other days of the broadcast, if you live outside the Philadelphia and tri-state area, you can listen live anytime or to rebroadcasts from the links located on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it has been a very interesting week. And my thanks, first of all, to our panel members who make every effort to be with us on a regular basis. And I want to thank Mark Andel, as you know, the founder of the Made in America store. Also, Larkin Connolly, the East Coast Vice President of SCORE. And Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. Each of these people joins myself, I'm Michael Blihash, and our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, to do our very best to make sure that our program comes off nicely every week and that you enjoy it and, of course, can spread the message that we speak about on this broadcast. As you know, this is a very special time of year, and there are 80 million additional opportunities for America's consumers to go out of their way to support the American Made campaign. Somebody said to me the other day when I delivered that line on the Saturday broadcast, they said, well, exactly what were you going to say? And I said, well, in just a few weeks, Mark and I are, it's the M&M broadcast today. Mark, in just a few weeks, over 80 million students in America will be returning to grade school, high school, and college. Wow, what an opportunity for those parents to go out of their way to speak up where they shop and make sure that people know this is an opportunity to support the businesses in America that are making the products. I'd also like to see people, Mark, and you know how important this issue is, people like David Muir to go out of their way to bring attention to the on ABC World News to school supply makers. I mean, they did a great job, remember, during the Olympics. But this would be another opportunity for them to really go out of their way and build it up year after year after year. I'm trying desperately. In fact, Henry and I were looking just the other day to see if we could get through to David Muir, but it's pretty tough to get through to him. If anyone has the secret, let me know what it's all about, and I'll make sure that we're in contact with him. There are just 80 million reasons for us to help America's suppliers get more of their stuff on the shelf. Mark, how do you see things these days?
Excellent. How are you, Mike? And, you know, Henry's there. And like you said, Mike, the M&M show. But very excited. I just want to give you a little bit, you know, a taste of where we are as the Made in America store. Last week we finished what is the Eden Corn Festival here. So it's a festival. We put up a 30 by 40 tent. And I'll tell you, people, you know, came. We had the weather, we had the branding, we had a lot of new products, and they really supported us. We more than doubled last year's sales. And, Mike, that tells us, or tells me, that, you know, people love what we're doing. We educated them, we raised awareness, and they know that buying Made in America products does a little bit of everything, and it's an action plan for people to get involved. So, Mike, that was a good taste. And right now I'm getting set up for the Erie County Fair, which is the second largest county fair in the country. We get a million people. It starts today at 12 o'clock, and it runs right through the following Sunday. So it's a 12-day event. We were all set up ready to go with our General Welding and Made in America last night, and then the wind storm came through and blew our 40 by 60 tent down. So, you know, we kind of rebounded, and our team never fails. So we got that tent back up, and we're ready to hit this big show. But people are just telling me how much they get it. we really came a long way, Mike, even with your radio show and with Made in America movement. People understand, and it's really awesome to see and hear, that they understand buying a Made in America product now makes a difference, really puts a creates jobs, and it works. So I think people feel good during this funny climate and presidential election coming up. I think people are starting to wake up a little bit.
They have woken up. I want to tell you, everywhere I go, Mark, it is a change in personalities. And, of course, sometimes when I go around, people say to me, well, does it really make a difference where the product is made? And I say, absolutely. Because if it's not affecting your job, it will affect someone in your family, maybe a neighbor or a friend. Somebody is going to get hurt as a result of not enough jobs being in the country. And also, it's not even good for our young people to look at the products and see that everything is foreign made. Where is the workmanship of Americans? That's a very important point, and we have to continue to promote that so people, all of you, as you're going out shopping, this is really your opportunity to say to the people at the stores, we have to do something to bring about change in America. I'm only going to buy something that's American made. Now, last week, I did link on my commentary, and I'll ask Henry if he would link it again. There were a group of companies that were offering exclusively American made school supplies. And Mark, I saw your company, your American made store, right on the top of that list.
Very, very good. So
Made in America store is doing our thing to try to promote each other. And I want to thank you for putting our radio link right there on the top of the page, because all of us working together will certainly be able to produce more.
Yeah, you know, Mike, a lot of people, our listeners, I don't think they understand. It's so simple buying Made in America products. And everybody's looking everywhere else for a solution, but it's really the solution. You know, it's so great that people could go out tonight and make change by looking at what they're buying and making sure it's made in America. And they don't understand, a lot of people just don't understand the ripple effect, how many people are involved with one product. And again, it could be 10, 20 suppliers to make that one product. And it directly affects them. The checks I write for the 6,600 products we have in our store, and we support 450 privately owned businesses, them checks stay in this country. That's so important because the money stays here. It allows our children to have jobs. And a lot of people just, that we get off track a little bit again, but how important could it be? Very, very important. Like we say, 50-50 fair trade. I tell people, we've got Vietnamese, Japanese, Chinese coming to my store. They get it. They say it's obvious. Support the country you live in. So we keep getting away and looking for that big answer. But sometimes, Mike, it's right there. It's small. Every night, every listener could go out every day and buy something made in America. I don't know if you've seen, Mike, we did a big, there was a big release on WPIX, Mario Diaz. It involved the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds at air shows. And what he did, he's a air show buff, and he goes around, and he went to these air shows, and he realized that the garments, the clothing that they were selling for these air shows, the Blue Angels, Thunderbirds, it wasn't made here in our country. So he called me, and I tried to explain who I am, and he said, Mark, I know who you are. We know you. We trust you. We want information on, can you buy a shirt made in this country cheap enough to sell and make profit? I said, absolutely. There's two vertical mills left. I deal with the one out of Tennessee. We can get a $4 or $5 shirt, have it printed. I said, so it's really just laziness. They have to want to do it. And a lot of times people are using the excuse they can't get it, but it is here now. And this was a big one, Mike. It released last Wednesday on national TV, and we are included in it. WPIX, I'll send you the link so you can put it on your site.
I did see it. In fact, Henry and I were talking about it this morning. Henry's a Blue Angel fan. So
oh, really? Excellent.
He is going to put it up on the front site. And people, Mark, I saw the video. I saw you in it. As always, you were top of the top. But I want to tell you, as the people walked around, if you saw that one lady, she's a 100% Army, you know, supporter, and then she looks at the tags.
Oh, the Marine supporter, yes.
Yep. Yeah, and she thought, oh, I can't believe they would allow that. Now, also in that video, those products are licensed through the Blue Angels. Yep. Why aren't the Blue Angels saying, We need American-made products.
Yeah, let me tell you a little background. So they started back in April. They contacted me May. Mario wanted to release that for July 4th, and a lot of crazy things happened in the country. So media gets bumped, as you know. So they surprised me and released that. Well, he did his homework, and he talked to some of the Blue Angels and Thunderbirds. They didn't know, Mike. A lot of them, it was like we raise awareness. They didn't realize, and then they were kind of pissed. You know, I mean, a veteran, you know, generally somebody that served our country, they want a Made in America product. And it reminds me, my godson that's with me, with General Welding, my operations manager now, he flew the C-17 aircraft, and he flew a flag for me over Afghanistan, and I got the flag once, and I didn't want to bring it up. My brother did to him. The flag wasn't made here in our country, and he told me he got it at the BX on our own military base overseas. He couldn't tell me the location, but he, too, was embarrassed. You know, Mike, if they, you know, to even buy one on our own BX, on our own military base, a flag, American flag that's not made in our country is just incredible.
It's not even,
he didn't even know. He felt terrible. He sent it to me, but I was, you know, of course, honored to get one from him, period. But
and where was that flag made, Mark?
That flag was made, I believe it was Vietnam.
You see, I mean, this is unbelievable.
Isn't that crazy, though? Here's a captain in the United States Air Force, and he bought it, and he didn't take time to look, and he flew it over. Beautiful case, and I was honored to get it for my godson. But it's amazing. Once I told him that, he was pissed, Mike.
You know, as I said earlier, so many people tell me in my travels, Michael, you're talking about the job situation. Well, I'm still employed, and a lot of my neighbors, I don't hear about unemployment. I said, well, in many cases, your neighbors don't want you to know their situation. They don't want to know your situation, so you don't ask them about theirs. But many of them are not in full-time jobs anymore. And it does make a difference where something is made. If we can get to that 50-50 point, we're going to be on top of the world. Believe me when I tell you, going out, and I just went out and looked at some of the store stuff for school, and there is more on the market, American-made. In fact, some of the companies are putting little flags on the boxes and things like that, but it's definitely not a lot. It should be a lot more.
Could you imagine, you know, a lot of people don't really grab with the Made in America, how it could make a difference? Well, instead of having a job where you make minimum wage, $8 to $15 an hour, whatever it may be, you could get a middle-class job. Like my father had a job at Ford, and he worked ironwork. And you could, you know, we talk college. They have this big debt. They come out, and a lot of them don't land a job. If we were making more things in this country, you could walk out your door today and go get a job. My dad always jokes you could quit a job on a Friday and find one on a Monday. The middle class was big and strong. You had your house, you had a swimming pool, and you had an extra car. You did that by working with your hands and building things in your own country. Now we're looking for jobs. Yeah, people might have 2-3 jobs to make what they did with one good job.
And you're right. And you know what else,
right,
Mark? There is something which every listener and all of us can agree with. As I go around the stores and I ask questions, start off very nicely, like I'm looking for American-made, because I dance around the idea. I say, I have somebody who only wants American-made stuff. So they pretend that they don't know what is made where.
Exactly.
And I say to them, well, can you direct me right over so I don't waste any time and show me what is American-made? And the guy says, well, I don't think there's anything in that line, because I see where all the boxes, the cartons come from when we take it out and put it on the shelf. Now, a lot of what's happening in the stores today and our customers who are speaking up in supporting American made, they're getting shut out by the personnel in the stores, and people don't get shut out. The people say, well, what's the difference? It reminds me of some other person who used that line when people were killed. What difference does it make where the product is made, as long as you have it when you want to buy it? Well, it does make a difference.
Well, and they have to, Mike, educate themselves enough to know that it does make a difference. The major disconnect is going overseas and not having the money here. People don't realize what we mean by that, why the money here, the taxes here, how that can build. We know that we all agree the middle class has shrunk, but how do we get that back up? We want jobs here and good paying jobs so people can go out. The average kid now in a house, if you're living with you, Mike, like my one boy, if you go out and get an apartment, it's $1,000 to $2,000 minimum a month. So you can't just say get out of the house. Realistically today, it's very hard to get an apartment on your own without sharing, like my one boy sharing it with five kids. It's different times because the labor, the wage never went up, but the jobs aren't here to support that wage, you know, where you could have a good job. Now you're working two, three jobs to make that, just to make ends meet. A lot of people haven't lived paycheck to paycheck, so they don't kind of grab it in a government, right?
That's exactly right. And when you see the amount of millions of people that are working for the government, and when they had fewer of the shutdowns over the last few years, when those people were out for a certain amount of days, no one even missed their service because the government is top-heavy with too many people on the payroll.
And who's paying for that, Mike?
And we are paying. They're trying to masquerade the idea that we have enough jobs and everything is moving along. When they tell the people on the news, the evening news, that we got 285,000 jobs this month, yes, that's right. But they're all part-time jobs. They're jobs that keep people in poverty. They're people working at the shore resorts and things like that. What are we going to have, another downturn come October the 1st when all the people from the shore jobs don't get laid off? And by the way, that's something very interesting. When people tell me why they want the foreigners to come over to work for the summer at these shore points, I didn't realize everything until I went around myself a few years ago, and then we clarified it just 2 weeks ago when one of the owners of a store said, well, when that person comes from a foreign country, they already have the insurance issue taken care of. They don't mind working because they're here, so they want to work every hour that they can. They don't have that many friends or whatever, so they're doing what they can to just, you know, work, make a nice job for me, make a pizzas or whatever they're doing, working at the ballparks, working at the amusement rides, working in the swimming pool areas. But he said, when they leave at the end of the summer, all of our obligations are done. It's all finished. We don't have the problem. We don't have to worry, is somebody going to be calling us? We don't have to report them to the IRS. We don't have to pay unemployment compensation. It's 1,001 reasons we've made this problem come about by government becoming too big and the people in government not looking at the reasons why we're losing jobs in America and why foreigners are welcome.
Right. You know, like we always say, you know, or I say, it's a 30-year mistake. We got to admit it's been a long time. We've got to this point. We're raising awareness just on your radio show, and we do it every day. And I tell people, America got lazy, selfish, and greedy. We got to admit it. We wanted the best for our kids. We give them more. But certain people, if you got to have want, you know, and we're looking at, you got to want, and you got to want to do better. You want a better job. You don't want to. You shouldn't want a handout. But, you know, my team isn't lazy. I've got the best team of workers, and we go at things hard. I was just up at Iron Mountain, Michigan. It's called the UP. So in Michigan, if there's listeners from Michigan, you're either a Uper or a Troll. Well, the UP, Iron Mountain's above, right next to Green Bay, just above Green Bay. But I went up there for a Boss Snowplow distributor meeting, and Toro had bought Boss Snowplow out. And Boss has 300 employees, and that used to be an iron, mining town. And we went back through when Ford Motor Company in the 20s had built a big plant there. And we opened up a big this distributor meeting at the World War II Museum, and they built a glider. These were the gliders that were towed by planes, and they went in first to Normandy, and most of these guys didn't come out. But that area, these workers at Boss Snowplow, it's a generation. You feel the pride. They make this plow. They're a team. They didn't want to – it's all about quality. And I was impressed to see these hard workers. And that's why I'm impressed that, you know, I worry that Toro bought them out, and I worry it's now a publicly traded company. I met the new CEO of Toro, which is a $2 billion company, and I was worried because I said, the family you've got here, I hope it never goes overseas, and it's just not about money, because I see the pride in these workers, and it gives me hope. A lot of young engineers, they all looked good. They're all into making the best product, and it's a team. You know, so I was encouraged. Now, there's not a lot of around up in upper, you know, in Michigan, so people don't really, a lot of people don't grab how much small companies and manufacturers mean to a community. Because if Boss Snowplow left Iron Mountain, Michigan, 300 people are out of work, and these are hard workers. So this is what has happened through through time, and I always worry about corporate America not thinking about, you know, the worker or the livelihood, thinking about that mighty dollar. So it was a nice to see. That I still got hope, Mike, but people don't grab how important it is to have work available in your towns and communities. That's what even built Philadelphia, right?
Absolutely. In fact, you know, when I look at some of the reports that I receive and some of the comments that I get from our listeners, it's so interesting to see how people go out of their way to speak up at the stores, yet they're pushed aside by the store personnel. This is something that I beg people, don't be afraid by these types of responses. Those people at the counter have to see that you will walk out the door and
right.
tell them personally, well, I'm going to have to shop around because I have to buy this particular person something that's made in America. And believe me, that makes a lasting impression when some of the sales clerks tell me you're one of many people asking the question, where is the American-made items?
Yeah, yes, you want to say it with confidence. Mike, you have, I have, of course, you become that guy. But, you know, after a while, they go, geez, maybe it isn't so crazy or nutty.
Yeah.
Maybe it does make sense. And that's what's happening now. And they actually, but a lot of times they can't associate. When I say I have 6,600 products, that was a lot of homework to find 100% made in America products. And, yes, I support 450 privately owned businesses, not publicly traded. But when I say I don't have a toaster, when I say I don't have anything that plugs in, I don't have one item that makes a battery, you should go, wow. That's sad. In the United States of America, we don't make one 100% product that takes a battery.
Right.
We don't make one product that plugs in. I mean, in the United States of America.
Well, you know what else, Mark, is strange? Foreign countries went into the businesses of making the toasters, the school supplies, the jeans, the, you know, anything you go into a store in the way of shoes, sneakers. They went into the business. They made that land available to manufacturers who wanted to come from America and set up where they are. But when you go to the store, you see that those products are still high priced. And the thing that amazes
right.
me, and I put the claw down in some of these places.
That's the greed part.
Some of these stores, you go shopping right now in any of the malls where that are near you, some of them are offering products 60% and 70% off.
Yeah.
And
so
then the manager,
that?
I talked to the manager in the one place and he says, even with 60% and 70% off, they're still making a profit. Well, that's admitting that the people have been overpaying for years for the foreign stuff. They love it. But why are these countries going into the business of manufacturing and our country is just sitting like dead wood?
Yeah. Even if you took, like, Apple products, you make the iPhone, I use the iPhone. But if Tim Cook, if they're a $1 billion company and they're making $200 a phone, why can't you give up even $50 a phone and support your country?
Good point. Henry
right.
likes that he's saying yes.
I would.
Absolutely. But see, RP.
I mean, how much money, if you're a $1 billion company, $999 million, $1 billion, people don't realize how much money, but Apple could move back here tomorrow and save the country. Them are things that these people should do.
And our states, they're hungry for tax dollars. They're hungry for those empty buildings to be reused again. And yet no one is talking about that. I saw on the debates, and Larkin is on travel today, and Rich is in Poland. We may hear from him at some point today. But he's visiting family in Poland. So he'll be back hopefully in 2 weeks, and he'll give us a full report on the European end of things, see how what he compares.
You know he's fired up over there, though.
Oh.
You know, he's going to listen to this show, and I'm going to pick
up. Oh, yeah, he's going to listen, and he's giving constant texts, so we know.
He's got his American shirt on. You know, you got to stir it up. Who else is going to do it, right?
Well, I'd like to see his reaction. He's been there before, but, I mean, I'd like to see.
I hope they let him back out, right?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. He's visiting Germany on this trip, too. So we'll get a full report from Rich when he gets back.
Well, we know he's got our back over there.
Yeah, so, and Larkin is out traveling today. So, you know,
Larkin's lucky. He's going to win enough to fly us out there.
Well, he better.
He's in Vegas, right?
He keeps saying he's going to do 1,000 things. I wanted to tell you that I saw Dr. Dolores Szymański 2 weeks ago at a party, and we're going to have to get her back on, because this is the time of year that the people, the parents, can also speak up to their school administrators, and when they're getting the kids back registered for different programs, to talk and make sure that the parents are the people speaking, not just a few of us on radio and in the news media, but the parents, individual people speaking up makes a true difference.
Now, we're just, I had Alfred Tech is a college close to us, a technical college. I've had six of their students, which is a two-year program for welding. So they finished their 1 year. I went and met the teachers. I've had six of their students that leave me next week. But I'll tell you, these six, they're just helping at the fair. They see the tent blow down last night. They always wonder how I keep going. And, you know, I just tell them to get used to flat tires and potholes in life, right? You know, hard work produces luck. You just keep going forward. But these kids, I'm pretty impressed with all six. Three of them have farm work ethic, which is rare. They go back to school for one more year. But, you know, when they come out of school, they're going to have a job with me if they want it. And two I got from Lincoln Tech, so it does work. But like you said, parents have to make it okay that their kid's going to go to a tech school. They're going to work with their hands. They're not going to have the big, big debt maybe, but they're going to have a job, and they're always going to have a skill. So it makes sense. But parents, like you're touching on, Mike, they have to make it okay. They have to say, it's okay, Billy. You know, you could become a plumber, a welder, a machinist. We still love you and we support you, and that's great. You know, you can't just look down at them, and that's what we got to break, that stereotyping.
You know, Mark,
because I see it all over.
Quite frankly, all those people are making more money than those young people with the fancy degrees, unemployed or working the summer jobs or part-time jobs. Once you get into an industry, be it heating or air conditioning or carpentry or whatever, you have your skills expand. You're wanted, you're needed. I mean, you know, our building is pretty big in Philadelphia, and something is always needed to be repaired or whatever.
Always
talking.
The only thing you can count on, Murphy's Law, right?
Yes.
Repairing and maintenance.
Oh, my God, yeah. And so I bring people in and I talk to them, and very often I'll have somebody come in and they'll give me and some ideas and proposals, not understanding that I know a lot of this stuff from doing it for 20 years. But I listen to what they have to say, and I can always tell a person who loves his job, loves his trade, as opposed to somebody who's just there representing a company and just doing it. But I must say, in these trades, majority of the people love what they do and are very professional about the way they present themselves.
Yeah. So I'm always asking, when I was up in Iron Mountain, Michigan, I met Grace people, and we're talking to people at the airport or wherever, and I'm asking them, you know, where did we go wrong? Why are the kids a little different? And some people say, well, we wanted the best for them. We wanted this. We wanted that. And the one lady said to me, even my daughter, she's happy she found a job that she don't have to work at night. But my point, we're always looking at where did we lose the drive, the ambition, or the want to work and provide for yourself. And America's got to produce more than we consume. That was lost. But also, as a person, and we talk about the breakdown of the families, but as a person, you should want not a handout. I'm not sure where we produced more users, you know, than doers. And also, if you look at all the presidential candidates, I think it's funny. Are they going to the hardworking people and talking to them today, or are they on the golf course having another drink and having a steak?
Yeah, I'll tell you.
You know what I mean?
Mark, did you watch the debate?
I caught bits and pieces.
Okay, well, I mean, I would like to see some of those people address the real issues facing America. One of them is, how are we going to bring our businesses up back to America, help the businesses we have in America grow? They talked about so many issues.
Did anybody say about Made in America products? Go out tonight and buy Made in America products.
Not one.
About who we should elect.
Not one that I watched most of the debate.
Why can't they say that?
That's a very good question.
That's what they should all end with. Hey, while you're waiting on who's the best here, go out and buy some Made in America products. Help your country right away. That's an action plan.
And that's what I tell everybody. Everything is a matter of your choice. No one reaches in your pocket to take your money out. You take your money out and decide what you want to buy.
Vote with your dollar. right?
Yeah, vote with your dollar. People are walking away with their dollars now. They're voting against the store, walking with their feet. And that's what I keep telling the store owners. I go around. It's a lot of effort to go and find out what's on the minds of these store managers. And some of them are very disgusted, knowing that the American people are being left out of a process, and yet they need those items, and they come to the store, and nothing that they need is made by their countrymen.
You know what's neat, Mike, if I, like the 450 suppliers I support or manufacturers, so these are the people that make my products, when I talk to them, I become friends. They're like me and you, Mike, and like Henry, hard workers, living up, you know, the American dream, ain't selfish. They're good people, but they're dying in our own country, and you feel it, but they're fighting the fight. But it shouldn't be that way. They're living the American dream. But that's what's neat about buying something made in America. You're helping a guy, usually a family that's really hardworking, really believes in our whole ways, you know, everything we believe in. That's what's neat. It's not supporting some corporation overseas. It's really supporting somebody working and feeding their family and supporting other people putting food, shelter, and clothing on their table.
You know, Mark, one of the things that's, I don't know what we can do to push this more, but I've been doing it everywhere I go. I tell parents, you make the policy in your household. If you buy American and you support local stores, you're really supporting your children's future. The youth is our future. They have to be given the example that products made in America are quality. They're done by their family, friends, neighbors. Some of their friends' parents are working at those jobs.
Second, third generation.
We have to start talking about the bread and butter issue.
And
by doing that, it all adds to the being positive with a local economy. And I see myself in talking with some of the parents. Some parents are unemployed themselves. So these people really should be helping to lead the way for American-made everything so that they have a job and everybody they know has a job.
Yep. Even if we started with the flag, Mike, even in families, the listeners, if you tell your kids, number one, buy a flag and fly it. Be proud of your country. It's your team. And then make sure they know that 50% of the flags almost are made overseas, and that shouldn't be. That's a common one I use on my buses. That's a speech I ask everybody, at least let's agree on this. Our flag should be made here. And generally they grab that. Even the listeners today, if you think about a pencil, I can't sell a pencil in my store because there's no lead made in the United States no more. We don't produce no more, or magnets, but they're very tough. But lead, just a pencil. So for school supplies, it's beautiful, Mike, because that's one thing they could do as a family, even the younger ones, whatever grade, kindergarten to 12th grade, let's go out and buy Made in America products. So make it a family fun thing to try and do that, and they'll be surprised, you know, what
example,
they can't find and what they can find.
Example, people going out, whether they're going out hiking, biking with family members, swimming at the swimming pool, they remember those great times. I think going out shopping and giving the example that the parents and the grandparents are big supporters of American made, and they're instilling that same feeling in their children is really something. It's important at this time of year as well as all through the year. It's not something we can let go on. I believe in prosperity through jobs and job skills. It's a simple yet a very effective point that we have to make. It helps local economies. It helps every listener, every friend of a listener, and all the community stores to stay alive.
Yeah.
Just imagine if all the stores had to close down because there was not enough people that had money to buy what they have available in those stores.
You know, when I said I went to Iron Mountain, Michigan, the boss snowplow, and the new CEO of Toro was there because we had to meet him. It used to be owned by a private guy like Mark Handel, you know, owned boss, but now Toro bought out. The CEO, I was kind of worried about meeting him and kind of like, who's this guy? But, you know, once I talked to him, this Mike, he said I was with Toro for 37 years. I started as a janitor, technician, type guy, and I worked my way up, and I said, that's awesome. You know, Mike, because that's what you want to hear. There was a company large enough and strong enough to stay in the country that you could work up from the lowest position to the highest position and have a great living.
Yes, and you worked your way up.
Isn't
too many people want to start from the top. No, it doesn't work. You have to build the foundation and move forward. This is a big problem in America. They want to come in as executives.
Yeah, you don't start at a ladder at the top, right? You do one rung at a time.
One rung at a time.
And that's where we got to go. And we got to keep talking it up. We got to make our listeners believe and tonight go out and talk to their neighbors about buying Made in America because, you know, that's one thing we can do as people because it just works so well.
Mark, I have to take a few moments to acknowledge some of our sponsors. And one of the things, Mark, that I have to say is many of these people admire you greatly for what you have done. You've been an example hard to duplicate. And with that in mind, I want to thank all of our listeners for going out and shopping American Made. Don't be afraid to speak up where you shop. Today is a new day in America. Everybody's speaking out for one another. They're speaking out for rights, for this, for that. We want our jobs back, period. Whatever you have to bypass in a store, do it. Think if you really don't need it, don't buy it. But shop around at another store. Maybe you will find a company who is struggling to maintain their products on the shelf and services here in the USA. Go out of your way to support it. Best wishes to all of you for a great summer from Mr. Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, who has his office located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond, Philadelphia. And also from everyone at Serena's Auto Body Shop, and they have two locations in Philadelphia to serve all of your needs. You can give them a call at 215-535-6606. And the Net Cost Market now has two locations in Northeast Philadelphia. One is at 117,001 Bustleton Avenue. That's at the Leo Mall, just off Byberry Road and Bustleton Avenue. And their newest location is at 2717 Welsh Road, just off Welsh Road and the Roosevelt Boulevard. You can visit them 7 days a week, or you can visit them on the internet by going to netcostphilly.com or give them a call at area code 267-672-2500. And talking about Mark Andel, I want to say that Mark Andel has an unbelievable website. Everything that he offers is 100% made in the USA. He doesn't accept anything less. Check out his store by going to madeinamericastore.com. That's madeinamericastore.com. And make sure you do some shopping at America Store. And I'm calling him now the America Store because he's done more than most of the stores that I know of. And also best wishes from Mr. Joseph Drobot, National President of the PRCUA, Polonia's oldest national fraternal life insurance company. Best wishes also from Michael Steinman, attorney at law, with two offices in Philadelphia to serve you. Give him a call at 215-564-1866. And for a great smile, remember, Dr. Eva Machak has two offices. One is at 3084 Armingo Avenue. The other is at 4250 Richmond Street, both in Philadelphia. For more information, give her a call at 215-739-2787. And Dominic Rostotsky is an attorney at law, and his office is located at 1835 Market Street in Center City, Philadelphia, on the 26th floor. For more information, give him a call at 215-575-7624. And all of our friends and supporters from Polka Deli at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue wish you a great summer season. Go out and support American Made. And by the way, talking about all of these great products, the Polish products, they're all the kielbasa and everything else. It's all made in the USA by people who are Americans working to make those great products for you. For more information, call Polka Deli at 215-634-3750. And if you're traveling anytime in the future, contact the Polish American Travel Service at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue. Give them a call at 215-634-3396. and Martin Bednarek, president of the Washington Savings Bank, a great supporter of all of our efforts 7 days a week here on the radio network, has 5 locations in Philadelphia to serve you. Contact Washington Savings Bank at 215-698-9400. And Yolanda Konopatska, the Scipio attorney at law, represents clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. You can contact her at 215 area code 423-4824. And Karen Janad, oh yes, if you need auto, home, and life insurance, remember there are many offices of State Farm Insurance, but the one who supports us most is Karen Janad at State Farm Insurance. Give her a call at 215-862-5490. And Dr. Vojimia Zin and everyone at Evers Dental wishes you a great summer season. They're located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. Give them a call at 215-671-0188. And Mr. Frank Spulla, National President of the Polish National Alliance, reminds you to check your insurance plans, your life insurance plans, and give the PNA a call at 1-800-621-3723 to ask about all of the products they have to offer. Also, best wishes from everyone from the Sugar House Casino, located at 1001 North Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia. You can visit them, open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. You can visit them on the internet for additional information by going to sugarhousecasino.com. And I would like to also encourage all of you to check out our internet site. And today, Henry is going to put up that site for the Blue Angels, where you will see Mark Andel appearing with his opinion. And I'm glad, Mark, that you are speaking up about that issue, because I believe that would help a lot more of our businesses that are in the industry to get those shirts on the market again. We have to stop dancing around, and I wish major voices. David Muir, I know, is doing some very nice reports on his show, but he could really make a major difference if he went out to the industries that really need some help and some promotion. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I love it. You know, I don't know if you heard that World News this week is having the Made in America segment back on. I had seen that advertised last week, and I didn't get a chance to watch it, so I wanted to give you a heads up on that. It was nice to see a commercial that was stating that they're, you know, bringing it back again. So it's not died yet, and I got some contacts with World News, Mike, which I'll share with you, but I just think that that helps so much when they do that, and it raises awareness because the people watch and really go, wow, you know, it just gives a lot of weight to it, and I think that's what we try to do, educate the person how that matters. But even if you go back to the air shows, this gentleman, Mario, is a, you know, he's a journalist and a reporter. WPIX is pretty big. And he just was, it's one of his things that he loves to do. And when he bought for the family 3 shirts and it was $110 or $120, it wasn't cheap. And he noticed that they're not made here. It started to get, raise the hair on him. And he wanted to really, really go at this. And, you know, but if everybody did that, Mike.
Well, that's know, where it is.
Right?
I always tell people, if you ask about something and you don't receive a good response from the clerk at the store, walk out the door and shop elsewhere. I do it all the time. And I make I don't go berserk, but I just say, well, I see you have nothing to offer me here, so I'm going to shop around. And some of the people are disappointed. They say, well, come back in a month or so. Maybe things are going to change. And by the way, Mark, I have to say this to you. As a result of people like yourself, as a result of our efforts here on American Workers Radio, and some of the political people, the local political people, talking about jobs and making enterprise zones to bring businesses back and all, more things are being discussed in corporate boardrooms than ever before. That, I think, is the biggest thing that we have accomplished. Most people thought, well, they'll just go away after some time.
But yeah, that's what they hate about me.
Yeah, oh, Mark, I can imagine. They hope that he'll just go away. They always say, Maybe he'll just forget about it. He'll get involved in something else.
Right.
No, I figured if I'm
going
to go down, I might as well go down with the ship, but it's going to have to be with me, the last person on the ship. And some of the people that are in politics have seen that our message is clear. I saw even when the political people were at the debate, everybody was trying to step over each other with a lot of niceties, but no one came out and said, in my administration, I will not allow all of these people to be unemployed. I would not allow something that is on the front page of American Workers Radio, the U.S. debt clock, to say that there, or to state, make a factual statement that there are 93 million Americans not in the workforce. Now, when I say the 93 million, people say, wow, that sounds like a lot. But let me just clarify that at this time. And that is, first of all, many of those jobs that are listed in there are people who are in high school and college that could and should have a job. That's number one. Some of them are parents who maybe took their children to school before and were able to get a five-hour job a day working at a store or wherever. They're no longer needed at those stores. Business is down. Things have been automated, whatever. That's also part of the 93 million people out of a job. Then you have the people who are actually unemployed. Those people that are actually unemployed have no possibility of getting into a job, say, in the next 6-8 months, unless their skills are needed. It's tough. Then you have the people who are disabled. The people with disabilities, for the first time in American history, the last 10 years, most of those jobs have been taken from those people and sent overseas. Now, God have mercy.
That's a fact, Mike, too.
And that is a horrible fact, and I think this is the type of thing that should be discussed. How can we have our people with challenges left aside? How can we have people returning from war zones that we sent them to with no jobs, with disabilities, and no place to be employed? There's also the senior citizens are within. Some of the seniors that retired in the past, maybe they had a mandatory retirement and they retired. They wanted to get a part-time job. There's no jobs for the part-time people to go to as well. So all of those people together is what they say represents 93 million Americans not in the workforce. And I encourage you to check that out on the front page of our internet site. Go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, click on the U.S. debt clock, and go right to the fact where it states loud and clear, 93 million people not in the workforce.
Mike, that's almost one-third of our population.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, you know, and when you talk about the disabled, I sit on a board called Sassy Inc. here to help, because I believe, try to help the disabled as much as you could. But I dealt with two disabled company for our store. One's a resource center that makes a lot of our bags and different things, and the other one's Southeast Works, which helped us just recently assemble the John Ratzenberger gift box. And when I talked to them, they raised awareness with me. I didn't know how hard it hit these companies that try to bring these disabled people so they have a quality of life and can feel needed and really produce, and they're awesome. But I didn't realize how many jobs were lost overseas for them.
Yeah, no,
it's hard to keep them open. People don't even realize that's amazing to me.
Mark, working in human services, I think that I've seen every aspect of life. But there is nothing more disappointing to someone like me than seeing somebody who wants to work and unable to find a job.
Yeah.
And having access.
They want a purpose. They want.
I have a young gentleman who Henry and I know from South Philadelphia, and I saw him about 4 or 5 months ago, and the company that he worked with was combined and moved overseas. And he says, I said to him, "How you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm 50 years old. I have no place to go anymore. They closed down my company and they moved it someplace over the ocean." And I said, "Oh boy." I said, "Well, you're a good guy. You'll be able to do something." He said, "Believe me, Every counselor that I have has tried to place me in some job, and it's not been possible. I wake up every day, and I want to go to work. I had a job for 25 years. I want to go to work. And that is a hard thing to hear when somebody is telling you, I want to go to work. But because of a slight disability, they're not able to.
Now, Mike, as I built general welding and fabricating out of my dad's garage, I went to auctions. And the auctions I went to back then, I would buy equipment, if it's welders or booms or cranes or hoists or drills. And all these different auctions I went to, one, Buffalo Forge. They had over 2,000 employees in Buffalo, made drill presses and all types of equipment. Then there was Clearing Niagara that made press brakes and scroll ironworks. And I could name a name. I got like 10 or 20, between 10 and 20 different companies that I've bought products for. When I used to go to these auctions, I'd realize that the lunch boxes were left open on the table. The clothes, the helmets, they're still in the changing rooms. Now when I look back, how sad it was and how these people loved their company, but it was, you know, their roots were ripped out from under them. These places that left Buffalo is unbelievable. And if you've never been, our listeners, if you've never been or seen, you should see the feeling in a big plant when there's nobody left. And I shook hands with the last guy to lock the door after the auction. And it's sad. But these were jobs that people counted on in their generations. They got their son and their daughter in. And that's just a shame. We're talking about disabled losing jobs, can't find jobs. But just anyone, when you had these manufacturing companies, which was the heart of your economy in your area, leave. You know, some people just don't get it because they didn't see it.
And, Mark, the biggest thing is everything that we buy in the store is considered under manufacturing.
Yes.
Somebody had to work to get that product from the actual production of the item to the packaging to the shipping.
If it's a keychain, Mike, it could be the simplest item. Golf tees were made in Michigan, which aren't no more. You know, even Canada was hit very hard. Most hockey skates and hockey sticks, 95% are not made in Canada no more. Now, people don't know this, and I talk to Canada, and I go to Great Skate here, and I pick on them when my kids were playing hockey, you know, for 12 years. But nobody realized what that did to Canada, because these people relied on a job. They worked with their hands, and that was their livelihood. So you got to really grasp what it means to take a product out of your area. And
now, Mark, let me ask you a question. That particular company, you said you were there at the auction.
Yes.
What did they make?
Buffalo Forge was a big company. Made they had their own foundry, everything. They made drill presses and equipment, rolling press. They even made a grill at the time, but mostly machinery to fabricate and process metal. You know, companies would buy it.
Okay, now that
quality equipment.
Now those quality products could still be made there.
Absolutely, I have a Buffalo drill press number 16, number 18. They were punch presses around the country. They were huge, but they had a whole city block in Buffalo, and they're gone.
So when you go to Home Depot, you still would find that product.
A drill press, yeah.
But you won't find it made in America.
Exactly.
How can that possibly be?
Yeah, and it's a shame because, you know, everybody heard of a drill press generally or something you drill with, but it's a shame. And these guys, they had pride, like I talk about, I seen at Boss Snowplow. It's neat to see a company really working, having pride in their product, and really all working as a team to get that product out the door and knowing it wasn't really about them, it's about keeping this whole company alive so everybody can really enjoy a job.
Well, that's why I say so often when I go to New York or I go to Washington, I look when I'm traveling on the train or in the car, there are so many buildings with signs available for rent, for sale. And these are not old buildings. These are buildings that were put up maybe 15, 18 years ago, beautifully done, and yet they're totally empty because those companies decided they will take their production elsewhere. And the American people were asleep. The sleeping giant was snoring away for years.
But you know who got hurt was small-town USA.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's who got hurt. When I go to Boston, we sat through these, they call them breakout sessions. The one guy taught us about robotic welding and how the programmer, there's so many neat things to get into this new technology and new manufacturing. It's not breaking rocks with a hammer. You know, it's not dirty, filthy. It's neat. You know, and that's what they got to get back to these kids, expose them to the metal shops, wood shops, and show them the new technology. It's awesome to build here and to be part of it. Some people got a different look at manufacture what they think it is and what it is today.
Oh, yeah. Today it's all modern technology. It's not the sweatshops of the past that you see on some show from 50 years ago. Yeah. America is a modern place. The thing that's very interesting is when some of the visitors come to historic Philadelphia and I have the opportunity to talk with them, they say, oh, no, our places are all modern. Everything is air conditioned. Everything is assembly lines. We make a good profit. Our people are happy. And I say, well, what is normally a wage for the day? $12. But then when I see that product sold in America, it's the same price as though it was made in America.
Right.
So somebody in the middle is gorging themselves at the banquet table and leaving the American worker out. And that's why I tell people, talk to the store personnel, ask for the manager. Don't be afraid to speak up. If you don't like what you hear, walk out the door and shop somewhere else. Today, Mark, you know yourself, no customer, you don't want to see a customer walk out the door. No customer wants to get any kind of guff from you because you know they will walk out the door and shop elsewhere. You have to be as courteous as possible. Give them the red carpet treatment. That's what was going on in America 30 years ago, 25 years ago, and it stopped because swine hustlers came from overseas and sold all of this stuff to our people. And the businesses said, hey, if I can profit and live an easy life, I'll do it. But that party is over. That gravy train, Mark, the gravy train of the past, I believe, is coming to a halt.
You know what we need is a culture change, right? We got to make it. You know, when I went to this Boss Snowball Seminar, there was an opening speaker, Terry Yankovich, and where'd she start her life at the age of 16? Walt Disney World, Mike. You know, so neat. Walt Disney was an excellent, an outstanding, you know, gentleman. But he wanted to provide, he wanted to cause happiness, you know. He wanted people to leave happy. So it's neat the culture that he kind of grew. And people do leave Walt Disney World happy. But, you know, you got to all want to as a team, and I think we have to do that as a country. Focus, one team, one goal, get this country back on its feet. Everybody.
And I have to tell you, when we get together in a few weeks, there are some questions that I did get from listeners, and that is what they want to see in a new president. I have about seven of them, and some of them are very interesting, and I can't wait to share it, but I want to do it, you know, after Labor Day, okay, when everybody is back to normal and we can really hear, you know, what's on people's minds, maybe even welcome some special guests to come on with us. We may have a special guest next week. We'll see how this works out. Rich is still in Poland, and he will be back, I think, in about 10 days or so. But he's out there doing his thing. I got a text from him during the broadcast, so I don't know exactly what's his story.
What do you think he's drinking, Mike?
Oh, he sounds like he could be partying over there. You know, Rich is one of those guys you know very well. He likes to be on the go every minute. So I know that he's going to Zakopane. He's going to go up in the rail car to the top of the mountain. So he'll really give us the full treatment when he comes back.
Henry will get the videos, I think.
And Henry is, I'm going to ask Henry to put that on about the Blue Angels. So people, check that out today, later today or tomorrow. And there's also another particular report that Henry is going to put on there, and that is that about the American-made products that are sold in America. Mark Store is on that link. I did have it linked to my commentary from the 8th of August. If you go on my commentaries and click on the 8th of August, you'll see that link. But we're going to put a special link up there directing people to the internet site that offers all of this stuff, and go out and look at the internet site, then go out and shop at the stores asking for these particular products. Well, as you can hear by the music, Mark, thank you for being part of our broadcast today. Thank you for being the unbelievable person that you are, helping to make sure that the American-made issue remains in front of the public. Thank you for going out and talking to all of the people coming up there to visit you. And everyone tuning in, make sure you check out Mark's store. Go to madeinamericastore.com. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11. I wish all of you the very best. Again, Mark, my best wishes as you go out to do your festival.
All right. Well, thank you. Bye, America. And remember, it's for your children's future. Have a great week, guys.
Have a great one.